Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Squash On Radio. Squash On Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we have a special guest with us all the way from North Carolina. Please welcome the one, the only, Dr. Kimberly McGeorge. Welcome, Kimberly.
Hello,
it's great
you.
To have you.
Oh, it's
Kimberly,
wonderful to be here. I love that intro. I want it. That's awesome. I feel like I'm going to star in an adventure movie now.
Well, I actually downloaded the new intro earlier today when I was at work. And I was kind of going through a few. I'm going to be changing it up here before long. And so the one I have downloaded, I'm going to do a kind of a pre-recording with it. And that way I'll have it downloaded as an intro. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. It's going to be more of a little bit more up-tempo. It might have a little bit of rock metal in it, but, I don't know. I'm going to try something different for a change. But what we got here, don't get me wrong, I've used them for a while and I like them, but and I'll still have them to use when I want to use them or switch up, but it's all
right.
Good. So, and just to let you know, this is actually your first time here with us on Squash On Radio, and I want to introduce you. I know you've probably seen and chatted with Mr. Zach Sterik, but right now live with us is also Zach Sterik, my co-host for Squatch On Radio. And, Zach will tell you, we're very laid back. We won't try to dissect you with any crazy questions or anything. It has been known to get very crazy on here. So,
yeah, that's a fact.
Hi, Zach.
Howdy, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Well, I tell you what, Kimberly, it's last time me and you actually really spoke was, if I'm not mistaken, was actually on your show, and which was very awesome. I really enjoyed myself being on your show. And for those who want to learn more about Kimberly McGeorge before we get started tonight, please be sure to go visit her website. It's thesecrettoeverything.com. And What's that?
I said, bam.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe I left something out.
Good.
Okay,
good.
Great. And also, you know, if you want to get to meet Kimberly, which, you know, after this interview tonight, after this show, you're going to want to come out and meet Kimberly at the ECVRO's first annual Virginia Bigfoot Conference. So, yeah, you'll have your opportunity to come out and meet her, and she will sign autographs, and she'll get you, you know, she might not charge you for the pictures. Yes, please do.
Oh, no, I'll charge for the pictures, but we're going to have our new technology out there, two pieces of technology, and I'm going to have me and my practitioners, we're going to be offering free aura scans and free overall physical, mental, spiritual, and body scans. Free.
Ooh.
Free.
I like that.
You guys will like it. You guys will like it, seriously.
Wow.
My brain hurts now.
Now, if you're nice, Danielle, if you give me permission, we might do a little sample on you or Zach before the show's over. I can do it remotely.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, I really do like the sound of that. That sounds very awesome.
I'm scared.
At least you say that now.
Huh. Very interesting.
You can keep talking about all the things I'm going to be doing at the conference.
No, you're totally fine. You're totally fine. We're just excited. You know, here it is. The event is right here next weekend, and June 30th. Excuse me. Yeah, for anyone who wants to attend, be sure to come out there and visit us and see Kimberly McGeorge. June 30th. And July 1st, and it's going to be here in Fishersville, Virginia at the Augusta Expo. So it's going to be a great time. Bring your friends and family. You're not going to want to miss that out. Again, Fishersville, Virginia at the Augusta Expo. And, you know, it's going to be a lot of, you know, a lot to learn, a lot to listen. And, you know, it's just being there is going to be entertaining, you know, all in itself. So, and you know, the children, even the adults will be able to get their faces painted. You'll be able to have a henna tattoos, you know, and all the good stuff. And I made sure we're going to have cotton candy there because I know my daughter, you know, she loves cotton candy. So one of our food vendors, he actually makes it. They actually create and make their own cotton candy from, you know, they add their own flavoring and everything. So, and so it's awesome. And we got cotton candy to look forward to, all kinds of good food. And so, you know, we'll see how it goes from there. Yes, thank you for asking that, because he's coming all the way from Kentucky, so absolutely.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, all the way from Kentucky.
And we don't have to hunt him, or we don't have to look interdimensionally. He'll just be there, like we can touch him, right?
Yes, he will be there in the physical form.
Well, that's okay, guys. Now that's reason enough. If you guys have ever doubted the existence of Sasquatch, there you go. We are going to prove it to you definitively for the first time this weekend in the flesh.
Yes, yes. Oh, my. Well, I'll tell you what, Kimberly. Now, if you don't mind, I would like to know if you don't mind to give listeners a rundown, basically an intro of your start. I mean, a little bit of your background and kind of what got you started getting into the Bigfoot world, if you don't mind sharing that information. Well, and, you know, not just Bigfoot world, but, you know, more into the cryptozoology world, you know, because I know you kind of deal with and look into other cryptids besides Bigfoot. So, but if you want to give us a rundown of what got you started and, you know, where your involvement came into play, you know, we'll sit back and listen.
That is actually a fabulous question, and thank you so much. So when I was growing up, my grandmother lived outside of Cleveland, and she lived by the Holden Arboretum. And these were the days, I'm old, you guys, so we didn't have cell phones, so we didn't have computers, we didn't have video games, we didn't have cable, we didn't have satellite. So we were, you know, we had to be creative, or we just had to run wild. So I ran wild with my brother, and we ran wild through hundreds and hundreds of acres of the Holden Arboretum, which surrounded my grandmother's property. And I think my first awareness as a child, and I'll go back and rewind in a minute, that you asked a specific question about my first kind of encounters with the cryptids, like Sasquatch type thing. We would run the woods, and a lot of times we would hear and this is very common now, we know, but like footsteps paralleling us. And my brother and I used to make up all these stories about like serial killers and everything, you know, how kids are. But really, really a lot of sounds. Now I know like what a tree snap sounds like. Now I know what a stick break sounds like. That's not an animal. And so now I know that there was something else in the woods, but, you know, and I think the biggest giveaway as a kid that there was something else, those are my puppies, by the way. The biggest giveaway as a kid was the feeling of being watched. That's so super creepy. If you guys have ever been in the woods and felt like you've been watched. So as a kid, I really didn't like see anything. I don't think my sight was developed enough to like even think like, oh, that might be Sasquatch. But definitely like all the things I know now that happen now happened back then. So I think that was my first encounter. Do you guys relate to that at all?
Yeah, it's funny how you know you're talking about being the sense of being watched. It reminded me of the post I actually put up earlier today, and I'm sure actually I'm sure there's a name for it. And yeah, because I mean on a number of occasions before I share what I was talking about, but related to what you were just asking, sharing and asking if anyone's ever felt like that, I've actually been in the woods numerous times. And, you know, certain areas, I'll go into certain areas and those times where you can sense that presence, but, you know, you can tell when it's there and when it's not there. Cause I mean, I can go in the same area a million times, you know, and not feel it. It might, you know, you might get comfortable in that area and then you go in that area one day and then all of a sudden your senses, your, you know, that part of your, I don't know what you call it, but that energy kicks on. It's like, something here, you know, and then sometimes you might end up hearing it, you know, sometimes your senses might follow through with actually hearing it, you know, and so it's like getting the vibe, you know, it's I don't know if this is related to that sense of knowing that there's something there, the sense of presence, but I have also, and you know, on a numerous times when I catch a vibe about something in particular. It could be a situation. It could be a possibility about somebody dealing, you know, in a relationship where like, oh, I think so-and-so is in a relationship with so-and-so. You know, for example, and you don't see no evidence of this, but yet you feel like there's a connection there. And your connection is telling you this is real. This is true. And all of a sudden, it could be a year or 2 years down the road, and you'll find something that shows that, you know, confirms your vibe, your sense of knowing what you were feeling was right. And the thing is with me, with my vibe and my sense of knowing these kind of things, it's like it has always proven to be real or have been true. So, yeah, if that makes any sense, and I do apologize for rambling on or sharing that, but it's like that vibe or that sense to me has always, somewhere down the road, has always been confirmed to be real or accurate, you know? So, I don't know what it is. It's, I haven't always been like that, but probably in the last, maybe the last 10 years, it's kind of been building up and getting stronger and stronger. I don't know. It's, but you know, but, yeah, I would say within at least the last 7 to 10 years, it's been like that. And, but, I do appreciate feeling that way and learning that that feeling is got some truth in it, you know?
Absolutely. Well, and yeah. Then later on in my opinion, after I really realized, I mean, I knew when I was really young that I was a remote viewer, and I've told this story many times. I don't know if I've ever told it on your show, but I used to lay in bed when I was 3 years old, and I would hear sirens. We lived outside of Chicago, and when I would hear police sirens, of course, fire sirens, ambulance sirens, I would actually go to the scene, like actually go to the scene ahead of whatever the vehicle was. So I was very traumatized when I heard sirens because I would see these horrible visions. They weren't always horrible. I mean, sometimes they were just stupid. But, like, you know, domestics and car crashes and child abuse and murder and suicide and rape and all this stuff I would see, like, before the vehicles. And I would actually be viewing the scene as the vehicles arrived, as the emergency vehicles arrived. So I was really, really terrified of sirens because I thought, like, everybody heard sirens and everybody saw pictures. And I'm like, why aren't my parents freaking out? Why isn't my brother freaking out? Like, I didn't understand. Of course, I'm 3 or 4 or 5, you know. Phenom, I didn't understand that not everybody had that experience when they heard sirens. So
right. That's
actually, you know, a piece of, and then I would see spirits beside my bed when I took a nap, and I would see other dimensions, and I would see doorways, and I would see all kinds of things. So I've always had that ability. I shut it down kind of in the middle because when you go to school, you realize, okay, I have to pretend like I'm like all these other people because, yeah, otherwise they're going to think I'm crazy. So it wasn't until I was much, much, much older and I started using my remote viewing skills to help law enforcement, to help all kinds of things, to see if someone was cheating, to look at license plates, to, you know, I could get names, I could name restaurants because I can see the pictures and so I can pull out or go in detail. And so, you know, that became part of my career, obviously, later in life. But when Sasquatch came back into my life, it was really the past 15, 20 years, and it happened because clients started to say, there's something on my property making weird noises at night. So we would go, as I used to when I worked in the paranormal, we would go and explore the property, and we would find all kinds of weird structures, and we would find all kinds of weird disturbances in the dirt and leaves and holes and mounds and crosses and X's and, you know, the whole thing. And so
right.
I was like, oh, this feels, and it felt sometimes the same way it felt as a kid, that you're being watched and all that stuff. So I got out my video camera and I got out my phone and I started photographing the scene to go and look at it later and compare it to some remote views I would do. And lo and behold, guess what? We started getting video and audio and photographic evidence where there were things there, whether it's eye shine or whether it's, you know, actually eyes and ears. I got a picture yesterday. I got to tell you, and this is one of the things I'm going to be talking a lot about in my presentation, but, you know, we think we have to go to these, you know, big exotic locations like Virginia to go on, you know, the Bigfoot hunts with Danielle and Zach. and that's great.
Right.
And I love going to other locations. Don't get me wrong. I love going to other locations. I am going to say this. I have a very busy business, so I don't have a lot of time to do this. But if you guys want to pay ever for me to come out and show you where the Sasquatch are in your town, I'm happy to do that. Because what I have found is you don't have to go. Wayne has been begging me. He's like, there's this place I know. Come with me, and I want to show you my spot. And I'm like, oh, it's so hot. Oh, it's so hot. Oh, it's so far. Oh, it's so hot. So I've been making all these excuses not to go out with him to his spot. And I drove down the road 5 miles yesterday, and they were everywhere. And I got a picture I'm going to show you at the – I'm going to use as a slide at the conference. I got eyes, ears, and a head 5 miles down the road
wow.
in my park by me. So we don't have to go to Wayne's spot or Daniel's spot or Zach's spot. We need to start opening our eyes and seeing our spots. And I also – they're in my woods, so I – but you get bored of those guys, you know what I mean? You have to – new creatures and new things. So some of you know Mark Zaskin. You may have whatever opinion you know, there's different opinions of him. He's a strong personality. But
actually,
he contacted.
Yeah, we've had him on here before. Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. So you guys are not foe, you're friends. But he contacted me and I got a hold of him. We started talking about different stuff. And he said, are there any places in North Carolina? And I said, I've got a really cool place up by the Cherokee Indian Reservation. He goes, how do you know they're there? Have you been there? I said, no, I saw them there. I felt them there. He goes, and you know Mark's not woo-woo, right? He's not super woo-woo. You know that. So he's like, whatever. We stepped out of the car, and of course it's in the Blue Ridge, you know, and it's pitch black. And he goes, oh, my God. He's like, there's four right over there. And that was the first time, I've told this story a couple of times, I've heard the huff. I don't know if you guys have ever heard that. The huff of a giant male Bigfoot, there's no words. You're on sacred ground when you're standing in the presence. And so he got a whole bunch of evidence. He actually stayed after I showed him and I introduced him to some people around there and they took over. But so Mark can vouch for my remote viewing skills because he knows.
Yeah. Actually, as far as a huff, the closest I've heard of that was it was a hard huff because it almost sounded like a heavy bark with bass in the voice. Like it was like a arf. More of an arf.
Like a bark, huff, arf.
Yeah, like
an
arf.
Rather than
yeah.
like a breath. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have it on tape, or did you just hear it? Did you get it recorded?
Oh, a long time. It was on an audio recording. That's where I picked it up. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Oh, that's
yeah,
awesome.
I'm not sure. I'll have to look through my archives, see if it's still there. Because most of my audio, not I shouldn't say most, but some of my audio is uploaded on SoundCloud. So, yeah. So some of my audio is basically known wildlife. Like I got barred owls, I got coyotes, and the other ones are other different howls and screams that you know I didn't quite recognize. So you know, yeah. Now another thing you mentioned you started noticing structures and stuff too. What kind of structures would you say? Like how would you describe the structures?
Well, here's the interesting thing now, in the present time now, is wherever I go, structures appear. And this is one of my big points. I don't want to ruin, like, everything and tell you, like, my whole talk. But I am going to use this example in about, I don't know what his real name is. You do, because you're much more in the world than I am. I'm more in a different world. My own world. Kind of not kidding. Colorado Bigfoot. I don't know what the guy's real name is, but you know who I mean, right? What's his name? Do you know his name?
Who is it now?
His YouTube channel, he calls it Colorado Bigfoot. He's pretty big. Do you know, Zach, what his name is?
Oh, I know who you're talking about, but I'm not sure of the name, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't know his name either, but I was watching a video. And he's like, everybody asks me, because, you know, we all know everything about Bigfoot, right? We're all experts. And I'm saying that facetiously because, you know, sometimes we all act a little cocky. He goes, everybody asks me why there's all these structures along these dirt roads way back in the forest. And I say, because, you know, they were here before we are. I'm not telling you my story right now, but I'm going to blow that theory out of the water. In my speech. That's not true. I mean, there are random ones, of course. I mean, I'm not saying they weren't here before, but we assume things that we do not know for fact about lots of things, including Sasquatch. My daily and weekly and monthly experiences where I go, including, I'm not going to tell you, interesting places that are undeniable, which I'll be showing you pictures, maybe video, and telling the story at the conference. Not just one little tiny X appears or some six on the ground that looks like they spelled my name. They make it obvious that they want a relationship with me. They move into the areas that I frequent all over my region, not just my backyard.
Hmm.
So that turns a lot of theories and a lot of ways people look at hunting on its ear, really. And I always have to remember that myself because, like I said, I'm always wanting to run here and run there. And really, it's more about working on that relationship and that connection and your observation. But with me, and if Daniel, if you came out here, it would blow your mind. It would blow your mind, the structures, teepees, and the parallel branches that they do and things propped up with leaners, with forks, you know. And, I'll show you some of these pictures at the conference. They make me the most beautiful tree structures. Like, I posted some of them, but I'm always afraid people, you know how people tend to rip off your pictures if they're really, really, really good. So I don't post a lot of stuff because I don't have time to watermark everything.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I've actually had some. I've seen mine pop up in other groups where people are sharing them. And one of them, you know, for example, one just happened a few weeks ago. And I was like, I actually made a comment on the post. I said, who the F posted these pictures? Where did these come from? Because I could tell you now, one of them does not belong to who posted them. And then, because
well,
I was like, it belongs
really
to me.
I mean, I'm not super competitive. I actually don't think you are either. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
If you want to pretend like my Sasquatch built them a tree structure, have at it if your life's that slow.
Right.
You know, have your own relationship, guys. Like, I'm not going to make a big thing. And I know two people that I can't say right now that got into it and threatened legal action over pictures and yada, yada. I mean, I'm not going to ever be like that. It's still annoying.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean? It feels a little violating. That's all.
Yeah.
I didn't ask your permission. And if they said,
I don't have a problem.
Mine, I'd probably say, have at it. Like, I don't care, Daniel, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the one thing, basically my point is, like, I have no problem with somebody sharing something, but, you know, when you got other people posting it, claiming it's theirs, you know, getting credit for it. I always believe give credit where credit is due, you know. So, but, you know, if they want to share something, that's fine, but at least say where you got it from, you know. Don't say, oh, this is mine.
Yeah.
I found this. I, you know. So, but, yeah, as far as structures, I find, you know, and they seem to be more common in a way in my general area. Some I found pretty big and some I found small, anywhere from about 4 feet up to 15, 20 feet as far as teepee structures go. I find them very fascinating. Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And all the,
yeah, those
ground,
are...
the groundwork, I don't get that. Like, I know everybody's like, oh, I mean, I've got a lot of groundwork around me. And I know people are like, I think they sometimes make stuff up. They're like, this is for this and this is for this. And I'm like, really? Like, I'm always puzzled by the, you know what I mean? Like, all the groundwork that they do. Like, I kind of don't understand it because what really puzzles me about them, I'm like, you know they're smart enough. You know they're strong enough to build a freaking log cabin and be done with it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah, their intelligence, I mean, just from what we observe, is mind-blowing, you know? So, yeah, absolutely. Some of them, you know, you ever thought about what they might mean or what they might represent?
I mean, I've heard everybody else's, like, supposedly what they really are, which I'm not quite sure.
A lot of it's speculation.
I'll be definitive about the things I know, but the things I don't know, I'll be like, this is what I think. But I don't know, unless Sasquatch came up to you, Daniel, and said, Daniel, guess what? We build teepees every time because of this or for these three reasons. Like, how the heck do we know?
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's a good point. And, yeah, I believe we could base a belief on, you know, a number of things, or, you know, if we think or believe that it was done for this purpose, you know, there's a number of ways we could look at it. But like I said, based on how you observe a situation and compare everything to it, if you want to relate Bigfoot to, like, one of our non-human primates, you know, why do our non-human primates, you know, stuff like that. I'm just giving an example based off of how I look at things, you know, but then again, that may not be accurate either, but, you know, that's how I look into things, you know, like, if they are a primate of some sort, then our known non-human primates, they do a lot of the same things that we're finding here or hearing or experiencing. So, you know, we might be able to take a look into that and say, oh, okay, this could be because of this, you know.
Right.
Or this,
right.
You know.
If you're of that camp, of the
right.
non, if you're of the primate type of person,
yeah.
Which I actually think, I actually do believe, which always shocks people, and I'll tell you guys this there too. I actually do believe there are some that are 100% physical, more primate type. I absolutely 100% do believe that. I just don't, where you and I may differ is I just don't believe all of them are.
Yeah. I mean, you know, for example, some believe that they may be possibly from a different dimension. You know, when, you know, thing is, that would be cool. I mean, you know, the thing is, you know, like I personally, yeah, I personally, you know, I can't agree or believe in that. I would like to, but, you know, then again, it's just like a non-believer in Bigfoot, period. They, you know, or a skeptic,
point.
For example. A skeptic
That's
wants
a
to
point.
Believe, but they
That's
need
good.
To have that definitive proof, you know. So.
That's true. Absolutely.
You know.
But I guess what I want to tell you guys, like, you know, I've been getting a hard time, and this is not my career. This is my hobby. Not by choice. It's my hobby, my ability, and obviously they are seeking a relationship with me, and I'm still on this journey. I do not yet. I'm not here to tell you I'm chosen and I'm this or I'm that. You know, I don't know. I'm still on this discovery journey of why the heck are you guys going everywhere I go regularly and showing up? Like, that's kind of creepy. Have you heard of a stalker, Bigfoot? Because that's what I'm doing. really live in North Carolina. But here's the cool thing. I have so many pictures, so many videos. Like, it's so hard for me to do the slideshow because I've been taking photographs and video for years. And when you look at my iPad, and I can show you there on my phone, Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Dogman, I have alien pictures, all this stuff around here, because we have so many military bases and underground military base entrances, and I think there is a tie-in there. I have so many pictures. You'll see a picture of my dog, a picture of my kids, two pictures of Sasquatch, a picture of my dog, a picture of a restaurant, a picture of my car. Do you know what I'm saying? This is like breath to me. Sasquatch and cryptos are not just a hobby. They're a forced part of my life. They have come into my life and forced themselves. I did not choose to do this. They, like, basically stood in front of me and said, pay attention to me, like a kid.
Yeah. You know, that's what a lot of people ask me about. What's my involvement with Bigfoot? Well, you know, it's with a lot of people, it started off as a curiosity, and then, you know, it kind of grew into a passion, and that passion continued to grow, you know, and then it became a little bit more, you know, to me, in a sense, where I wanted to learn more. And as I learn based off of my research, you know, I like to share what I, you know, and when I share stuff, I'm not telling people, you got to believe what I'm telling you. I mean, it's based off of my research and observations. And I mean, you know, and the thing is, even with what I shared, there's no definitive proof or evidence to, you know, physically support what I, you know, believe. But there's information and there's data that supports it to a certain extent. So, I mean, just because there's that doesn't, you know, give my belief or theory on things a concrete standing. So, but you know, so it's
so much in the past couple of years because you've really grown and expanded in like your thinking and what you allow into your life as possibility. Like, you've really, I don't want to say matured because that makes it sound like you're a little boring. You weren't, but you used to be a lot more hard-headed when I first met you. You did.
Oh,
I don't know if it's your daughter growing up softened you or like who got you. Maybe they did, but you have changed. I mean, you're able now to not agree with someone but not come at them like, you know what I mean? So stubbornly, used to be pretty stubborn. I mean, I think you're still stubborn, but not in this. Like, you're more in allowance of possibility.
Right. Well, it's funny because I just recently was kind of somewhat speaking to a couple individuals about this in a way. You know, one was Zach, for example, and the other was another fellow researcher who was actually kind of dropped low out of the scene in a way. And, but, you know, I was like, you know, he was – the one individual brought up, you know, another individual who I do associate with and talks about, you know, the guy's just unbelievable, blah, blah, blah. You know, be careful who, you know, the other guy's telling me, be careful that, you know, you associate or ruin you. I said, well, I said, I don't look at that. I said, yeah, so, you know, people do look at individuals, you know, they don't always look at who you associate with. You know, it doesn't, everybody has their own distinct belief and, you know, everybody has their own personal claims. I said, that's up to every individual on how they, you know, they want to claim something, that's on them. I can't tell them that they're wrong, you know, and I can't call them a liar because, you know, one thing, it is disrespectful because, you know, so what if somebody's seen something that sounds far-fetched? I mean, that's their claim. And, you know, I mean, you know, I can be friends with them, but I don't have to agree or believe in that. But the thing is, I would ask them, I said, if you want me to believe in that, I need to see something. I need to see something that's going to trigger to me, like, that is real. This is all, you know, I'm just throwing that out there as, you know, pretty much as an example. But the other thing is, it's like, well, I had to sit back and observe who I am. Look at what I'm doing. You know, the thing is, you want people to come out and be comfortable with you in – I'm organizing this event next month, you know, next weekend. And, you know, I want people from all walks of life, you know, to be able to, you know, approach me and say, well, hey, you know what? Yeah. Daniel's always been the, hard ass, very objective. You know, he doesn't agree with too many people. No, they want to say, hey, well, he's very open-minded. I want to be able to share him what I believe, you know, and, you know, hey, if I saw a Bigfoot fly across the sky, I want to be able to tell him that, you know. You know, I'm just
the
throwing that, that's kind of,
you
know.
In the clouds.
Yeah. So.
Oh, I'm just joking. But I know what you're talking about, and I'll say the same thing about me being associated with you as I would me being associated with anyone. Just because I believe someone has abilities and that some of their things are real and I might agree with some of them also doesn't mean that I agree with all of their conclusions or their evidence, if that makes sense. You can like a person and have some things in common with someone and have, you know, landed on the same page in a few places. Like you said, I mean, even you and I, if you draw two circles, you and I have overlap in the middle. You know, and that's how I am with most people. Very few people, you know, we're all here to walk our own path, really, truly. We're not all here to agree with each other. We're all here to help each other learn. And I think it should be done with open-hearted love and acceptance and graciousness whenever possible. I love debate. I want people to come up and say, why do you think this? Or can you prove it? Or why can't you prove it? Or why don't you feel you need to prove it? Like, I have no problem with respectful, and I don't think you do either, with respectful, loving, like, fair dialogue, or even a little bit of an, you might call it argument. But I just don't like, you're a fraud, or you're not woo-woo enough, or you're too woo-woo, or you're BS, or I mean, just all the, you know how the industry is, paranormal industry is the same way, every industry is the same way, consciousness industry is the same way. I've worked in all of them. And I think to really make progress, like, why are these things here? What is our responsibility? What are they? Like, we're still asking the same questions years later, and I think it's because we're so distracted infighting and making groups to tear each other down. And I mean, it's one thing looking at a picture and saying, oh, this, my friend gave me this. Do you think it's real? Or what do you see? Or do you think it's Dogman? Or do you think it's Sasquatch? Or do you think it's this? Or is that a UFO? Or is that an alien? Like, I have no problem with all of that. Like, constructive dialogue. There's a lot of not constructive dialogue in this industry. And I think you having this conference is actually a really good karmic thing to be more positive about everything and maybe make some real progress.
Right. Absolutely. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about tonight too, I wanted to get in the lines of your work, kind of talk about the spiritual side of things and, tell us a little bit about, you know, I guess this is kind of stepping away from Bigfoot a little bit in a way, but, as far as I know, a lot of, your work is involved, with energy and, you know, I guess you could say the spirituality and different things like that. I was wondering if you would mind kind of walking us through that there a little bit.
Sure, and let me briefly tell you how I ended up there. Again, it was a destiny, not a choice. I was very, very, very physically sick for a very, very long time when I was really young, and I wanted a better quality of life. I was in a horrible marriage. I had great kids, horrible marriage, great career. But really I lost myself in this abusive marriage and I was sick. And of course there's a correlation between choices we make and our emotional, mental, spiritual, and physical health. But, I chased through the medical system, for years and years. I wasn't getting any relief, you know, drug surgery, this, that, guessing, always guessing on what was wrong with me. And finally, I remember standing in front of this one doctor and he's like, let's try this medication. And the internet was kind of new and young and had just become available to everybody. And so, you know, we had this availability of information outside of the trusted authorities. And I said, let's not try that. I said, there has to be something else. He said, there's nothing else. Nobody knows what's wrong with you. And I said, well, I'm going to figure it out. And so I went to the internet and I didn't even know that this sounds so dumb, you guys. I did not know there were choices. Okay, this is so dumb because I was so programmed and brainwashed that you go to the doctor when you're sick. That's how I was raised. I didn't know there was such thing as alternative medicine. Like, I didn't know there were choices, Daniel. I didn't know there were herbs and homeopathics and acupuncture and energy work. Like, I didn't know that. I know that sounds dumb. But when I typed it into our friend Google, who was more of our friend back then, well, never our friend, but more of our friend back then than now, you know, all these things came up, and I started researching. I started connecting with people all over the globe. And eventually, I kind of halfway healed myself through a lot of research, and I ended up going to school. I ended up becoming an herbalist first. I ended up getting my naturopathic degree next. I ended up – and really – why I went into business was I had so much success with me, all my friends and relatives saw that I was different and said, what did you do? And I would tell them, and they said, oh, do you think you could talk to my Aunt Susie? She has arthritis. Do you have anything that's good for that? So I was spending hours and hours on the phone at night, late into the night. I had young children. I was homeschooling my kids. I had chickens, organic garden, and a huge property. And I didn't really have time for this. And my ex-husband, the only good thing he probably ever did for me, he said, hey, babe, he's like, why don't you start charging these people if you're going to be taking time away from the family? I said, great idea.
Yeah.
And so my career was born. And, it's, you know, for the last 25 years, I've, you know, practiced natural medicine. And how I really got to where I am now is, I mean, Daniel, could you afford right now to write $800? If I told you you needed $800 worth of nutritional supplements, would you just write me a check happily for $800 and hand it to me? I would guess not. Not many people in America are going to have $800 to spend on vitamins, right? But that's how much their bodies, because I learned applied kinesiology, which is sports medicine, which is taught in every major college in the United States, also called muscle testing, so I could see the muscle response of the body and see how it reacted to different substances. And but these people were so nutritionally, as we know, deficient and out of balance in America and around the world that they needed so much stuff, but no one could afford it. Well, if they can't afford to take what they want, they're not going to get well. My practice isn't going to grow, yada, yada. So I started using homeopathics, which are energy medicine. You can combine a lot of things because we are – I probably won't talk too much about this, but we are frequency radio towers. All of us, we're energy. We're low, slow vibrating – Ron will probably talk about some of this – low, slow vibrating energy that makes our bodies dense, but we're still frequency. Each person has an individual frequency. And so – we can read, like a thought is a frequency, an emotion is a frequency, a parasite is a frequency, a virus is a frequency, anything going on in your whole entire body is a frequency. And we have the technology, we actually always have for a long, long time, but they're letting us have it now, the technology to read those frequencies. So the apps that we use, and I used to use a big machine that cost $40,000, now we have it down to everything's under, well, my one app's $47, my other one's under $1,400, so it's like any other kind of technology. The cost has come way down, but we can read thoughts, feelings, emotions. And the cool thing about that, you're like, who cares? Guess what? You, your brain, is the most sophisticated computer ever. Your body, your brain, knows what's wrong with you, and it knows how to get out of anything, depression, anxiety, cancer, diabetes, thyroid disease, anything, an emotional imbalance, obsessive compulsive disorder. Your brain can tell me, you tell me, instead of me telling you and saying, well, here's the naturopathic stuff that everyone uses for diabetes, try this, which I'm still practicing like a Western medicine doctor. Now we only practice individually. So we never, ever, 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 there's never one person that's like another person. We're all individuals. And you could have diabetes and I could have diabetes and there'd be a million different ways to fix it. It's not going to be the same.
Mm.
Anyway,
yeah,
story.
We,
no,
you're fine. Ron actually covered a little bit about that on Tuesday night with us. And, yeah, it was very interesting and it was actually pretty good. I mean, because talking about, you know, the vibrational frequency that everybody possesses, you know, and if that frequency level drops and then that's, you know, if it gets too low, then that's where we can, you know, like the human body, we can start to get sick, you know, and,
yeah.
You know, and other things. So, yeah, that's pretty good how he, you know, he kind of went into that there. So, yeah, Ron's.
That's why I'm trying to hide behind Ron when they throw tomatoes at me. I'm going to be like, Ron, get up here.
Oh yeah, come to the event if you want to. If Ron's for it, that's awesome. If you want to have him part of your, you know, your presentation or anything, you know, like that, that's totally up to you and Ron. I'm all for it. I mean, just like the Ohio and Ice Hawkers, they're going to be up there together. Mike and Mike, they'll be doing their presentation together.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, aren't the She Squatchers, don't they do theirs together?
Yeah, they'll be doing dirt together. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
so.
I wouldn't put myself in the same. I really respect Ron. He's been, you know what, he's really put his boots to the ground all over the entire planet. And he's looked into, I don't know how much he talked about, but, you know, he's explored the giant skeletons. And, I mean, he's, like, hardcore. He's, like, hardcore into all of this, like the paranormal, cryptozoology, archaeological stuff, you know?
Right.
Like, I'm not discovering giants in my... I hope I don't discover any giant skeletons. Well, actually, that'd be pretty cool. Maybe pay for my house.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's really... I mean, he's really esteemed in certain circles. He's really knowledgeable. I really respect him.
Right. Now, there was something I was going to ask you. It was along the lines of what we were just discussing. And, I know it's going to come to me here in a little bit, and that's my fault because I have a notepad next to me, and I usually, when something pops up in my head, I usually jot it down. So,
that's smart. Can I ask you a question I'm curious about that I've never asked you, which the listeners might know, but they also might find entertaining?
Okay,
did
sure.
Did you go on your spring Bigfoot thing, your spring one?
Have we planned a spring camp thing?
No, did you go? Didn't you have a camp out in the spring that, like, everybody could come to or certain people could come to?
Actually, no, that never went through. Yeah. And that's another thing, too, because, you know, after the two-day conference, it's supposed to be followed by a week-long camping expedition. And unfortunately, I'm not trying to announce it yet, but, you know, even though I organize it and I plan it, I may not be able to attend my own camp expedition because there's a couple things that fall into play on that one. So, but you know, I'm not going
to
get into that on live air. You're fine. Yeah, you know, you're fine. As far as work goes, I have no problem getting it off from work, which was pretty much already granted from me, but a lot of situations change because, you know, in my situation, a lot of things that made it a lot harder on me with things, there was a job change, you know, and of course I went through a job change. I went from a job that I was at for a good 5 years to the job I'm at now. And let's just say the job I'm at now is actually a big blessing because my boss has actually already talked to me about a promotion. I've only been there a month, you know, it's so laid back. Yeah. But yeah, that's, I don't know. There's fingers crossed in that situation there, but yeah. At the same time, switching jobs it changed a few things because, you know, as far as the week camping exhibition for my freezer that was originally scheduled with paid time off, which switching jobs that's now didn't no longer exist, that went out the door. So that's why things are a little hard right now. Trying to make that happen. Basically, in order for me to accomplish that there, funds would have to be available because right now, in my current situation, paycheck to paycheck is basically what I'm living off of. And I know a lot of the rest of America is the same, pretty much the same way. So I'm sure that a lot of people understand that situation.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody never mind. You don't want to talk about it. I'm not going to keep asking any questions about it.
It's all good.
Okay, forget it.
No.
A Bigfoot hike. Can you talk about that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Anybody is welcome. I know Zach planned on being a part of it because I know several people will be out, will be arriving on the 29th. Because on the 29th, which I'll be at the venue itself setting up because I did ask, they gave me permission to come up there set up, and which works out great because the Friday, the 29th, the Bigfoot hike, everybody is to meet up at the venue parking lot by 3 p.m. And then from there, by 3:30, we will be leaving out and we will be headed to the location, which is roughly only about 10 minutes away. And, you know, in this particular area, it's part of the same national forest that I do a lot of my research out of. But it's actually about a good 40, 45 minutes away from the area where I go.
Mm-hmm.
But in this one particular area, it's I will say it's very splotchy. I've, you know, I've gotten a lot of my own activity and found my own evidence in there. And there's been I've spoken to a couple eyewitnesses that have seen them in the area from on hunting trips. Yeah, absolutely. The Bigfoot hike is actually going to be led by Fred Canning. So what's
free,
that?
Right? Like you said, it's free if they come to the conference. Like, they need to come just for that. Where else? If you guys don't believe me, you can listen to Daniel, and you can be guaranteed to at least have the possibility to see something
absolutely.
That you may never have seen or hear something, right?
Oh, absolutely. Again, in the Bigfoot hike, once I escort everybody to the location, the Bigfoot hike is going to be led by Mr. Fred Canny. And, yeah, so that's going to be very interesting. And on another note, there's been several people that signed up for tent camping that, you know, couldn't afford hotels. And, venue itself, they threw a couple last minute, stumps in, in my situation here. And however, tent camping will not be allowed on the venue property. So, I got prepared and I was like, well, people that are going to come that want to tent camp, they'll be, unfortunately, they'll have no problem tent camping in the woods. Because I'm going to give them the option to hopefully, if they still want to camp, because I've been making posts about it. So if anybody shows up, say, I didn't know about it, because nobody's following the situation. So that's their fault. I mean, if they're not following posts and know what's going on, I can't help them in there. But I can't reach out to every single individual. It's not that easy. So I made public posts, in several different areas and announcing the situation. And the thing is, like I said, the camping will take place in the very same location where the hike's going to take place at. And it's primitive camping.
Wow.
There's no bathrooms there. So if they want to use a bathroom, there's a couple stores a few miles out, And the one thing about this particular area, yeah, you do have cell phone service. So that's a plus on that. So now out where I plan on going camping for the expedition, if it works out that way, is also primitive camping, but there is no phone service up there. It's very deep in the woods. It's very remote.
Wow.
They do have a Johnny House bathroom built on the premises, because it's all part of the National Forest. And I hope for the best on everybody on that situation. We have event t-shirts and everything. I have a whole box of all these shirts and I got to go through them. They did not give me a list of, this one thing that kind of aggravates me too, because I'm going to have to go back and find everybody that ordered the shirt, what size they ordered. And so I'm going to have fun doing that. So the other thing is I thought about too. I said, when they come to pick up their shirt, I'll know who bought a shirt. I'll let them tell me what size they had. I might do it that way,
Oh, that's true.
There's some minor.
I don't have a shirt, Daniel. You're going to have to pull some strings to get me a shirt.
Well, the thing is, I've had people buy them after the fundraiser because, that's why I try to tell people. Yeah, I try to tell people, I said, if you want to save money, buy it while it's on the fundraiser. You're going to pay double whatever it's off.
I missed every post about that, every single one.
Well, the other thing is, like this one guy, he lives locally here, and he's like, hey, Daniel, I'm going to be coming to the event. I wanted to get a couple of shirts, and I missed the deadline for the fundraiser. Is there any way to get them? I said, yeah, absolutely. And I was like, it's going to cost you a lot more than what the fundraiser costs. And he said, money's not an issue. This guy here, he's in partial ownership in one of the biggest dealerships here in the Virginia, in the Valley. So
he's coming.
So, yeah, he bought two of them, and of course they were about almost 40 bucks a piece. Yeah, so I mean, here they are on fundraiser, you can get them at half price, actually they just arrived today, if I'm not mistaken, they're in a package all by themselves, so I know they're his. So my banners just arrived the other day, which they look really good. I'm very happy with the way they turned out. So, we have a lot to look forward to. It's a lot of excitement, and hopefully I get plenty of rest the day before, so I can stay focused on everything and keep up with everybody.
Yeah, it's gonna be crazy once it starts. It'll go fast.
Yeah, I might have to keep me a private stash of alcohol somewhere so I can keep chill.
Oh, that's right. I forgot there's something.
Yes, please.
Zach said, yes, please. Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. As far as we got a couple people here, Zach and Baltimore that's coming up from Texas. They'll be camping out here at my house, so, you know, during the course of the event.
Indoor camping.
Well, yeah, but we might be out back. I got a small fire pit, a small fire ring out back.
Oh,
you know,
cool.
Yeah, so we can sit out there and sit around the fire or just hang out on the back porch and do whatever, you know. So yeah, there's a lot to look forward to.
Are you speaking, Daniel?
Am I speaking?
You're not. Yeah.
No. In the beginning, I'm going to do an introduction before I bring Zach, because Zach's going to be the, you know, him being the MC. I'm going to do a more of an opening, know, discussion. You know, just going to, you know, hopefully there's enough people here to hear. You know, here's my introduction, because I'm going to tell them if you get disruptive, I'm dragging you out by the ear. That is going to be interesting, because, you know, the thing is, you know, a lot of conferences, I know, well, I shouldn't say a lot, but for example, the Ohio Bigfoot Conference, they have their vendors in a separate area. When the speakers are, they have a whole separate room for the speakers, you know, and everybody who buy tickets to listen to them. Now, the thing is, right now, this is our first annual event. Everything's all under one roof in the same building.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that's going to be interesting. The stage and the speaking section, it will be separated by, you know, hopefully the curtain, you know, because the venue has these curtain dividers, which that's how we plan on setting up for the vendor booths. You know, basically like a 10x10 booth. And the venue does provide 8-foot tables and all that good stuff.
Nice.
So, yeah, so we'll be up there Friday setting that up somehow. We're not sure. I'm not sure how that's going to be laid out and set up. But so hopefully it works out great.
How big is the Ohio one, Daniel?
As far as to be honest, everything – they say over 2,000 people sometimes show up, you know, but – And the thing is, I mean, I don't know how they estimate that, because when I went the year before, I mean, yeah, during you got the one day where you basically you're down there in the small crowded area in the lodge where with all the vendors are, and you're just trying to you know, you're walking through, and you know, and you got the speakers are down there the first of the Friday night you got there's a meet and greet, because you know. There's a meet and greet where, you know, you have a chance to meet up with the speakers and just hang out and chill with them and talk. And then the next day they have, you know, they have the vendors all going out and, you know, doing their thing. The vendors over there, the vendors only on display for one day, you know, for so many hours out of the day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know, so yeah, if you miss out that one day, whatever, you know, that's your loss. So, here, everybody will have a chance for, you know, to come to the vendors both days, because we've actually had some people on our post, on certain posts saying, well, I won't be there Saturday, but I'm definitely being there Sunday, which, well, okay, that's cool. So, you know, some people can't make it one day. They'll be able to, you know, it gives them a 2-day advantage to, you know, show up, you know. So, but yeah, I mean, their speaker, their conference rooms at the lodge, they're fairly decent sized rooms. So I don't know. I don't know. I mean, if they say that's, you know, what they average is over 2,000 people, I mean, well, who knows? Maybe we might do that or if not better. Just, you know, I can't, I mean, a lot of people ask me, well, how many, huh?
What's that? I'm going for 5,000 for us.
Well, that'd be awesome. However, I mean, I know the venue itself holds a little over 1,600, but yeah, if we could have an average of 5,000 between both days, that'd be great. I'll be happy.
I'm sure you would be very happy.
I mean, I wouldn't make, you know, just by the larger number of show up. I mean, I'm not going to be making no money because I don't have nothing to sell, you know, from, you know.
Right.
I'm just going to be there to, you know, make sure everybody's enjoying themselves and everything goes accordingly. So
you're going to be crazy. You're going to be crazy. Everyone's going to be like, Daniel. You're going to go nuts. I'm telling you.
I mean, that's why I'm hustling on ticket sales. That's the only bit of money I'm making is the net sales after taxes.
Right,
after the taxes and everything.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I'm making
right.
is ticket sale money. I mean, I wish there was a way. I've looked at, in other ways to try to do it, but I don't have – it takes money to make money, and I don't have the money to make – you know. So I have no ways to do that because I'm actually falling in a hole, actually, to be honest with you, at the moment until things change. But, I mean, this is the first annual event. Everything is going to – you know, everything's going to work out, and I want this to work out for the best. That way, it, being the first annual event, it's going to be I don't know what the right way to put this, but it's going to let people see this and witness this event, see how great and how successful it is. That way, they're like, hey, we got to go again
that's
next
true.
Year.
That's
you
true.
Know, so
and
that way,
more
yeah, exactly. The word of mouth is going to get around. It's like, hey, Joe Smo, I know you don't believe in Bigfoot, but you got to come to this event. You know, that's how you know I vision things. Like people are going to start talking. It's going to spread. You know, and the thing is, Virginia has another Bigfoot conference, but nobody knows
Wait,
it really
do?
About them. It's put on by a group. You know, they were supposed to quit. I think this is their last year doing it. Because the guy who was running it or in behind it, he's actually retired from out of the Bigfoot world and left one individual in charge of it. So they, you don't really see announcements about it on Facebook. They're it's their last thing. And, you know, I think, but it's coming up in October. So, so yeah, I don't know much about that, but, because like I said, you don't see nothing on Facebook about it no more. I mean, it's just like, I don't know, it's like they're done advertising. I don't know.
That's
don't
weird.
Know.
They're done. They're just done.
Yeah.
It's a good
so.
State for it. I mean, it's a perfect, it's just a good, I think it's a nice bench for the East Coast and the Midwest. It's not bad either, but it's a nice for the East Coast central location.
Well,
you know
it's funny. The funny thing is, you know, I've seen somebody comment, you know, because I know there's Bigfoot conferences popping up left and right all over the United States.
That's true.
And the thing is, you know, I've seen some people make comments and make posts about all these different conferences, which what I've read in some of it totally makes sense. But then again, you know, it's everybody's thing. If they want to give it a try, go ahead, you know. And me, and I'm sure others are learning that it's not a piece of cake. It's not as easy as it looks, you know. Especially if you want, especially if you wanted to be successful, if you wanted to be right and organized, it's a lot more involved than you think, you know. So I mean, and the thing is, people are, you know, they're making people making posts saying, well, people are having these conferences and being held in locations where you never hear about nothing, you know, and all, you know. So you know, I'm like, okay, that makes sense. I mean, well, one day we're going to hear about a Bigfoot conference in Hawaii. I mean, so,
in the middle of the
you know,
oh,
so, I
my
mean,
goodness. I mean, people are driving in for this. I have people driving from Columbus, Ohio. I have people coming, my clients from Washington, D.C. I have people coming from New Jersey. I have people coming from Maryland. I mean, I have people driving in for this.
Yeah,
this is
and
not
the other
a
thing
local,
is,
local thing, you guys. You know, this is big time.
Absolutely, yeah. Mike Miller, Mike Feltner actually messaged me the other day. He said, "Man, this thing looks like it's going to be really huge." I said, "I hope so," because I mean, when people ask me, "Well, how many people are you expecting?" And the thing is, if I tell them how many ticket sales versus how you know, the thing
right.
is, ticket sales, I don't feel like telling them the ticket sale number is going to give justice to what I really believe it's going to be, you know. So I just believe it's going to be a lot bigger.
Regional, last minute, like if I lived in the area, like within an hour or two, I'd be planning on going. but I'm a procrastinator, and I just say, let's get our tickets at the door, you know?
Well, that's I've had several people, and I don't even know these people, but they've found ways to connect with me. Either they'll connect with me or they'll message me through the event page, and which I stay on top of that. So anybody that wants to message the event page, I will respond on the ECBRO First Annual Virginia Benefit Conference page. But I've had several people, and a lot of these, I talked to them, I was like, who is this person? I'll go to look them up. I said, oh, they live here in Virginia. Okay. I don't know, but they live here, you know? So people asking, hey, is, you know, are tickets going to be sold at the door? I'm like, yes, absolutely. And what I'm telling people and what I've been announcing, you know, tickets are on sale at $20 right now per person. At the door, they will go up to $30.
Right.
So, you know,
right.
So,
affordable.
You know,
I mean,
oh yeah.
Affordable.
I mean, if you go to any other conference, they're going to, their lowest is usually 45 for, you know,
I'm
for tickets.
I'm going to put something out to people that are on the fence about coming. When you hit a conference, when it first comes out like this one, maybe, I mean, if you keep doing this, you know, 2 or 3 years, it may grow. Your best chance to get like FaceTime with some of these really experienced, or you could even say famous people in the Bigfoot world, it's a good idea to come. If you've ever read any of their books or you've ever followed their channels, if you really want to have some, you know, FaceTime or you know, hear other people's stories or theories, your best chance is always go the first year. So if you're on the fence about coming, get off the fence, get your ticket,
yeah,
or plan on coming, tell your friends, because you're actually going to get to talk to people. You're not going to be like standing in line. My daughter went to something in Oklahoma. She lives here now, but she lived in Oklahoma, and she went to a Bigfoot conference out there, and Ron was there, and she said she stood in line and she didn't even get to talk to him. But you will get to talk to Ron at this conference. He will be available, and there won't be so many people. So what I'm telling you guys is this is a rare opportunity to get face-to-face with people you've only heard about or seen on TV or heard on the radio or seen on YouTube, right?
Right, exactly. Well, like, for example, the Ohio Bigfoot Conference. Don't get me wrong, I had a great time. And the one thing I really appreciated, I didn't care if I didn't buy nothing when I went up there. I drove over 5.5 hours to go there, and just being there was awesome. Just, you know, just the location. You can see you're inside Salt Fork State Park. I mean, right there, I was like, yeah, I can see how they have sightings here. This place is squatchy as a mofo. You know?
That's one of the biggest sightings in Ohio. I mean, they're everywhere, but there's a lot in that area for sure.
Oh, yeah. And then just when you get to the lodge itself, I was like, man, this is a freaking resort. You know, I was like, you know, here
right.
You got this
awesome-looking
cabin. I mean, this lodge, you know, because the first night we stayed there, we were in the lodge. We stayed in one of the rooms. Second night, we ended up getting a cabin right around the corner with a beautiful view of the lake. And, But the thing is, first day we got there, as soon as we walked into the front office where the lobby is, you got the lobby check-in area, and then you got the gift shop right there. We're standing there. As soon as we just walk in, we're like, dude, there's Cliff Brackman right there. You know, it's like, holy shit. You know, so it's like,
yeah,
you know,
that's what I mean.
He was
like,
all by himself just standing there chilling, you know. I was like,
become people, and it really is cool to have that access. So for $20 or $30, even if they were $100, this is really a steal because this is unparalleled access that Daniel can never promise you again.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're going to be twice
the
size or three times the size. There'll be different people. There might be a lot more people there. There'll be a different structure maybe because you're going to tweak things as you go along, you know, and learn.
Yeah.
So if you guys like anybody or know anybody or even just are in love with, you know, cryptids and Sasquatch, you need to come out. I don't care if you have to drive 6 hours. Like, it's not that big a deal. You know, I'm sure there's some hotel rooms available. I'm staying out, actually, not in by design, but I'm sure there's still some hotel rooms somewhere available. I don't think
you
booked them all.
I know the one you're staying at. You mentioned it's the Best Western right there in Waynesboro, right?
Yeah, most of my clients are staying there. I'm staying at an Airbnb. I'm staying at bed and breakfast like 10 minutes out.
Oh, okay. I thought you were staying. Okay, I got you.
No,
well,
all my clients are, like, four people are staying there that I know.
Oh, okay. Well, the reason I mentioned that, because they actually, there's a young girl that works there. She's the director of, you know, coordinating events and all this stuff they have. Because they got a really nice, brand new conference room, ballroom, whatever you want to call it. You know, conference hall where, you know, you have vendors, everybody set up in there, and all kinds of good stuff. And they have a couple other small private rooms where you can use it for whatever. And because I remember I met up with her. She gave me a rundown with all that there and the cost, prices, everything. The prices are awesome, but the thing is, I'm looking at, you know, our event. I'm looking at other events similar to ours, and I'm also looking at the state of Virginia. Now, and I know it's not just Virginia, but I can tell you, Virginia people, Virginia residents, they love flea markets. They love yard sales. And the thing is, yeah. Yeah, and well, the thing is, I mean, you know, as far as improvement for our second event, I want to have the speakers in one private room. And at the venue, it's one massive building broken into three buildings. And they have a small room, which will be perfect for all the speakers. Because the speaker, you know, the one room is the one that we were originally going to stay out of, which only holds 500-something people, which... You know, I got the thing. I said, that'd be great. You know, that would be great to have just the, you know, have the speakers in there, sell tickets separate for just for them, and then open up the other room for a mass vendor room, you know, and for entertainment vendors and everything else in the other room. And thing is, money could, you know, serious money could be made out of that, you know, on my part as well as, you know, because, you know, it's my event. People love to come out and vend. There's Facebook pages that are the local vendor groups on Facebook page, you know, that people are looking to come be a vendor at whatever events because they want to make their money, you know. So, and yeah, people have no problem paying that price. I'm charging $75 for a vendor spot, and you know, some locations they charge $150 a set of a booth, you know,
or more. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so I mean, $75 I believe was pretty fair, you know. Now the thing is, if we do go about doing two separate rooms next year, which if it works out, if funds fall through that way, I may do that, you know. And as far as speakers, I've already got a couple people already lined up. And I already have others in mind that I actually been in contact prior to setting up this event, which, you know, I just didn't have the funds to have the others here. But the thing is, they're not really all that pricey, but they're actually very affordable to a certain extent. You know, as a couple of them are. And then, of course, you got one, you're going, you're touching into the thousands. But you know what? I mean, I'm very content with who we have lined up for this year. I'm very content. And, you know, I mean, everybody, you
know. What I like, though? I like that you're not having the same people. Why would I want to go somewhere where you have all the same people that I've already heard? Like, I don't want to hear the same people. I want to see new things and hear new ideas, you know?
Well, yeah, you're right, because, you know, I mean, the way I look at it, don't get me wrong, you know, some, you know, not to mention no speakers or no venues or, you know, events, but, yeah, they always have at least two or three of the same characters there every year, and no,
right,
nothing wrong with that.
That.
People love those people, and they're very nice, outgoing people, but the thing is, it's like me going to my neighbor's house every day, you're going to get to know them too well, and you're going to get too comfortable. Like, okay, that's my neighbor. I see him every day. You know, people are going to get like that. They're going to like, no, I met him. I met so-and-so enough. I mean, what's, you know, why drive over several hours just to go, you know, shake his hand and talk for a few minutes and that's all you get, you know? So, and that's just the one way I look at it. The other thing is, you know, people come there not just to meet these people, but they do want to listen. People are curious about what people are going to say or possibly
that's
share.
True.
So, yeah, that's so true. That's how I was looking at this. I said, okay, this
I'm
person
curious.
Believes in this. This person looks at this is this way. I want them to come explain themselves. I want them to share what they know and what they believe. This person here is totally opposite. That's what I'm doing. I'm bringing in people from different walks of life, different points of views, you know, and, you know, like,
interesting.
Not, yeah, and that's what it should be about, you know. It brings in different people together.
Twitter, everybody agrees. You know, I'm like, oh, well, you agree with his theory, and you all think he's 100%, you know, ape or whatever, and I'm just seeing the same stuff, and you're showing me the same stuff, and you're saying the same stuff, and you all agree, I'm out of here, you know, never again. I'm done. Like, I think...
Exactly.
People actually want a little bit of drama. You get a Q, you get your Q&A panel up there. That's going to be fiery compared to, you know, someone where everybody thinks the same thing.
Yeah. I am curious to see how the Q&A is going to go at our event, because, you know, there will be Q&A sessions both Saturday and Sunday. So, you know, everybody will have a chance to intervene and, you know, and ask questions with each of them and all the above. So,
yeah, and I'm going to be right in the middle of it, too.
Yep. And I think if you guys, I'll get up there and announce. Yeah, if anybody disagrees with anybody or wants to throw something, this guy right here from Illinois, take aim at him.
Kiss my ass, Benny.
Nah, I'm just picking on Zach. Zach knows I pick on him. So, yeah, his mom caught me in a post that I said something being funny, and I deleted it. And his mom said, Daniel, you got caught. He said, you tried to delete your comment, but I already read it before it disappeared. It's all crap.
Are you serious?
I said, I was only trying to be funny. Yeah, because it's something about, I mentioned something about, yeah, it's something about needing duct tape, too. And it was, she understood my joke, so, but it was funny. She said she laughed at it. So I was like, whew, thank God.
Is your mom, that's honest, your mom's not coming back?
Oh, no, she'll be there. She's bringing her, her first outing for this little business that she jump started called Yellow Rose Natural Products, and she's going to be selling
cool.
stuff like soap and facial scrubs and beard balms and beard oils and bath bombs and perfumes and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
that's
she's
cool.
gonna. I think she's gonna do. She's gonna do real good. So
my mom's gonna make
good.
A killing at this.
Well, yeah, cause, you know, right perfect. Here in the Shenandoah Valley, we have a lot of country folk right here. That's all there is out here is country folk. So, and the farmers, the Mennonites, everybody. I mean, people love that stuff out here. So,
and then I'm going to be having order forms for my T-shirts there at my table. I'll have pictures of me to sell and autograph. I'll have pictures of all the cryptids from here in Southern Illinois there at my table, and if anybody wants to ask me questions about them, I'll answer their questions from what I know from my research and all that kind of stuff. So it's going to be pretty fun.
So, Zach,
yeah.
Do you go squatching? Do you go out? Like, tell me about you real quick.
What do you want to know? I'm an open book.
No, like how did you get, I mean, I'm sure everybody knows this, but I don't know, and maybe some people don't know, but how did you get started? Because you're young.
Yeah, I've been at this now for 13 years, since I was 9 or 10 years old. I had my first encounter with Sasquatch whenever I was 9 years old. I heard the scream of it in Randolph
wow.
County, Illinois, up by St. Louis.
Wow.
And,
did you know what
and
it
was
when you were that age?
No, I didn't.
Did you know?
I didn't. I went, and it started right there as a quest of trying to find out what it was that I heard, and then it just spiraled from there to a quest where I'm trying to prove that Sasquatch exists in Southern Illinois.
Oh, well, I can guarantee you this, and you know that too. What other cryptids are out your way that you've run into or stories about that you've run into?
Let's see, there's the Big Muddy Monster, which is a Bigfoot that was sighted 30 miles west of here on the Big Muddy River. There's the Enfield Horror of Enfield, Illinois. There's the Stump Pond Serpent of Pyramid State Park. There's the Pious Sawbird from, Alton, Illinois. We have the Farmer City Werewolf. The Hamp Mine Monster of Monroe Township, We have the Phantom Panther of Alexander County. There's a lot, and then there's the Tuttle Bottoms Monster, which was sighted back in the 60s, which Bruce Klein, the head of the Little Egypt Ghost Society, actually had an encounter with whenever he was just a little kid.
Gracious. You know your stuff. Have you written a book? You need to write a book about all that. That's a lot.
Not only that, we got a lot of paranormal out here, too, because back during Prohibition and the Great Depression, we had gangster wars out here with bootleggers. And not only that, we had the Ku Klux Klan ran rampant through here during the Prohibition era. We had Charlie Berger, who was a big gangster here. He was the last man hanged publicly in Illinois in 1928.
Wow. That knows a lot.
I mean,
are you talking about?
I'm a local historian.
You are. Wow. I didn't know there was that much around there. Goodness.
Oh, yeah. They even wrote a book about the county I live in. It's called Bloody Williamson. If you look it up on Amazon, I'm sure you could find it.
Yowie. Interesting.
Like I was talking to Darby Orcutt last night on the phone about my county, and he says, boy, you got a colorful county. I said, yeah, and every bit of it's blood red.
Interesting, though. Yeah, you know your stuff. Interesting. Well, I'm looking forward to meeting you. That'll be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting all the way around. Yeah, Zach has a lot to share. For those, I got to mention, and I hope we have a lot of donut lovers. I really hope we have a lot of donut lovers because one of the local donut shops, they're actually a very popular local company, which their donuts sell on high demand. I mean, their donuts get shared at all these different events. And I was actually contacted, this company is called Streitz Donuts. It's owned by a gentleman by Carl. His name is Carl Streitz. And they have a shop out in Harrisonburg, Virginia, over by JMU, downtown somewhere in Harrisonburg. And, I talked to the mayor himself and say, hey, would you be interested in coming? Bringing your mobile trucks sitting outside at our venue. I think you would do really well there, having some coffee, selling donuts and this stuff. And being as busy as he is, he mentioned to me, he said, well, let me tell you what. He said, I got several dozen of donuts that the Harley-Davidson shop's got something going on all the time. I deliver donuts to them and let them sell them by the dozen. So he said, how about I show up? He said, how early could you be there? I said, I'll be there probably about 7 o'clock in the morning at least. He said, all right. He said, I will be there. I will drop off several dozen donuts of three different flavors. He said, you don't have to pay me back right away, but he said, I'll sell them to you at a such and such price where you could turn around and sell them, make a little bit of profit, off of them for your. He said, I'll give you glaze, cinnamon, and blueberry. I said, oh, okay. That will work out great. So they'll be sold by the dozen. So he said, if you sell out on the first day, he said, call me. I will come back out there Sunday morning with several more.
That's nice.
So, and as far as my booth is going to be mainly for information. I will have some tracks and casts on display, then some other information. Basically, one of the things I've been in the works for a while, we do have local Virginia ECBRO members, so I'll actually have some membership forms. I'll be basically doing sign-up forms, and anybody interested wanting to become a member, because one of the things I'm working on, because, we have our website, and I am going to try to work on putting out maybe a monthly newsletter, so kind of sharing information, updates on events and everything else. So, get people signed up and, try to get more people involved. And also, if anybody has a report or has seen something, they're welcome to share it. They don't want to share it publicly because there's a couple different ways they can share a report at our event. Because Big Ray and KB from RIP Paranormal Radio out of Richmond, Virginia, they will be there broadcasting live. And they welcome anybody that wants to share. Yeah, they welcome anybody that wants to share a story. because their simulcasts reaches are all around the world. So, so Big Ray and KB, they'll definitely be there. You know, so yeah, Big Ray, is it Big Ray? Yeah, I think it's Big Ray. He actually shared some interesting stuff he's had happen to him out here in the woods. So yeah, they got some information and stories. Now, Big Ray and KB, for those who don't know them, they're actually one's retired from the military, and the other one is a retired police officer. So, and and apart from the radio show, they actually have their own paranormal research team. And the RIP, they're the Richmond Investigators of the Paranormal. And a lot of people may be familiar with Mr. Wilbur Allen, which he works for. He is a government worker, and he's got all the fancy high-tech toys, FLIRs, and everything you can think of. I mean, he's got pieces of equipment that'll make a FLIR look like a Fisher-Price toy, you know. So, so yeah, they're very high-tech and got all the gizmos and gadgets, all the bells and whistles, so... And so I don't know. I don't know if Wilbur will be there or not. He works up in D.C. And I don't know. It'd be cool if he shows up. I never really got to talk with him. Very brief. But he's very much into aliens and UFOs. That's kind of his expertise, you know. So, which is awesome.
Wilbur's expertise is that you don't know if he's going to be there.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'll have to ask Big Ray or KB. So. On Facebook, Big Ray, his name is Ray, I'm trying to remember the last name. Ray, hold on, I'll tell you in just a second.
Ray Rucker and Ken Ballos.
There you
yes,
go.
That's it. Thank you, yeah. Cause
I know, I watch him every morning.
I'll have to add him or follow up.
Oh, I have a question on the live chat that just popped up. this is actually nothing to do with us. It's actually referring to somebody else.
Okay.
User on the live chat, he goes by Flycat. She's one of our regular listeners. He says, host, tell us what you know of Doug Waller and the Bigfoot body hoax. I know Doug Waller is, but I don't know nothing about it. I have no idea. Yeah.
I don't know. I know.
I'm not familiar with that. Are you... You know what he might be talking about?
I don't even know about the Bigfoot body hoax. Is that the guy that shows...
The only thing to do with the Bigfoot body hoax is Rick Dyer. So I don't know anyone else involved with a body hoax. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know Rick Dyer, too.
Yeah. But as Doug Waller, I know Doug Waller, but I never heard of him involved with anything like that.
Who's Doug Waller? Where is he out of?
Give me a second. I forget. I think he's, don't get me wrong, I think he's Virginia.
Is he? Wow.
Could be wrong. Hold on. Yeah, Doug Waller, he's on my friends list.
Is he Southeastern Ohio Society for Bigfoot? Is he Ohio? Yeah.
Yes, he is out of Ohio. Norwich, Ohio.
There's something going on with him in a body hoax. Interesting.
I did not know that. See, I can't keep up with everybody and everything that's going on.
You know,
I never...
players on this game board now, like how do you like they I don't know. And you know what, there's tons of women, and all the women are really crazy too. Like there's really very few like solid women. They're really out there, the women really out there.
Well, Doug Waller, I mean he's been on my friends list for a long time. I do not recognize him. I mean, I just never heard, this is the first I've heard of anything, if it's associated with him or not.
When you're claiming bodies, that's a big hoax. You know, you're going for
okay.
it, and you're saying you've got Bigfoot body parts or Bigfoot bodies, you know?
Yeah.
Right?
Give me one second here. Sent me a link.
Curious.
Yeah, let me copy and paste a link right here. He sent me a link with the information.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And, Let's see. Yeah, I'll share it to both of you guys, let you look into it. This is the first I'm hearing about this. I have no idea what it's about. So, all right, Kimberly, you got it. And, Zach, I'm about to send it to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. I'm doing it in a minute.
So.
Hold on. Let me go to where you sent. I got it. Okay. We found a body in Salt Fork. Is that it?
Yeah, report of body found in Salt Fork is hoax. That's the title of it. A recent Facebook posting claiming the body of a supposed Bigfoot was found in Salt Fork State Park and seized reportedly is a hoax. Then it goes on to read. The text of the posting is as follows. It has been learned that a local man found the body of a dead Bigfoot in a wildlife area of Salt Fork while hiking on a trail in northern part of the park. He called Bigfoot researcher Doug Wallace to investigate it and determined the creature to have been about 7.5 feet tall and covered in hair. Through on-site examination, the creature was bipedal and greatly resembled a very primitive type of human. Park rangers have secured the body and have secured it in a private facility for further and important complex examination. Waller, who heads a Southeastern Ohio Society for Bigfoot Investigation, said Monday the report was false.
They were just throwing his name around. They were just saying he verified it or whatever.
Yeah, he was the one that called out to go investigate it. So, yeah. Okay. So, that's the first I've heard of that. Like I said, I didn't know nothing about that. So, yeah. That's interesting.
What do you think about, let me ask you a question. What do you think about all these, because I've seen them on a lot of people's channels, and I have them on my property, and, like, part of me wants to pay, like, some random person on, like, anywhere, but not me, to dig them up. Like, what are these mounds that we find in, like, heavy marked areas? Like, it creeps me out, but I'm very, very, very curious.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've done some research on mounds.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
First of all, let me step back on that. The Shenandoah Valley here, I've done a lot of research on that. And there is actually there's mounds from two different sources here in the valley. Now, I don't know if this relates anywhere else, but one is a lot of it could either be one or the other. Some of these old mounds, now mainly in the National Forest, people need to understand, in the National Forest here in Virginia, a great majority of the George Washington National Forest at one time was farming land and plantation property, which later on the state had taken over. But a lot of these the parts of the forest where you come across mounds, a lot of them, because you'll come across old trails, old logging roads, which we have a great number of logging roads. And some are mounds. You'll find mounds and stuff. Basically, it was over a period of time. They come from area, you know, where farmers had actually stopped the roads and you know, because we've had logging here, years ago. And so a lot of it comes from the old farms and stuff. But then on the other hand, as far as Native American goes, there is a lot of certain. I don't know. It's hard to say which ones, but some of them come from Native American, settlements and stuff here, where some of them were actually for burial. And, it's like they didn't have a special place just for a burial area. They were kind of random, So some of these mounds may consist of old stones built up in formations, in a mound formation, not just a pile of dirt. So it could be a number of things. Some of the mounds that we come across, some people believe that could they be Bigfoot burying their dead? We don't know. I'll dig it up and find out. But I don't know. Some of it is Native American related.
I wouldn't want to disturb a Native American burial site. I mean, I get why people don't dig them up, but on second thought, if it's on your, some of these are on my property, so I'm like really puzzling over it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm so curious. I'm like, and it's so heavily marked. with, like,
yeah,
all sorts of sizes. It might have nothing to do. See how we put things together that might, like you said, have nothing to do with one another?
Well, and the other thing is, too, a lot of people don't realize an uprooted tree over a period of time, when it, you know, if there's nothing left
of
the tree where it's
point.
Brought, yeah, the root ball system over a period of time will be
that's
mounded over. You won't even see the root.
Yeah.
You won't even see the stump. You'll just have a mound of dirt that's formed over a period of time. So that's another thing people kind of lack or neglect to realize, too, you know. So, yeah, a lot
well,
of it, it is interesting.
Like when I get my house, I don't want to, like, disturb a bunch of Indians and be haunted the whole time I'm there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Maybe I should go with the Craigslist idea first. Then we can, like, move the graves or something. I don't know, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I have a bunch of them. It's creepy. But I don't know why they would bury them like that. I don't know. Like, I don't know much about this, obviously. But I don't know why there'd be so many, like, on top. Like, not like, you know how, like, humans usually dig down? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I guess the old way, they piled dirt on top, right? Is that what they did? I don't know. In the pioneer days,
oh, yeah.
Did they just mound dirt on top of, like, after they dug down? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think a lot of them have done that. You know, then again, yeah, back if you look in, like, even some of the old movies, the way, you know, you'll see a pile of dirt mound on top, you know. But then again, I don't know. It depends if you live out in the woods and out in the country. I mean, I can see them doing that, you know. Where they'll top it with stone, you know. So
yeah, I'm a little nervous.
You know.
I'm not digging. Somebody else can.
Tell you what, Kimberly. We're going to be coming to a close very soon. I wanted to give you the opportunity. If there's anything you want to throw out there that you would like the public to know about you, or if you want to plug anything as well, and definitely let everybody know where they can find you and learn more about you.
Oh, sure. Well, if you guys will learn more about me, really, you know, figuredeverything.com. But better than that, I really am not really too scared. There's pages and pages and pages about me and all the shows I've done and everything, more than you would ever want to know. Just drop my name, Kimberly McGeorge, in good old Google, and you'll learn more than you ever probably wanted to know or cared to know by doing that. But really, I just want you guys to come out. I really don't – I mean – I could tell, you know, everything I'm going to tell there, and of course I don't want to do that. I want you guys to come out and support Daniel and Zach and me and all the speakers and all the vendors, and I want you guys to, you know, meet us, and I want you to hear the authenticity and look in our eyes and feel our handshake and know that we're not BSing you and that we're not defrauding anyone. I make, as a matter of fact, Daniel knows, this trip is very expensive for me. I am making $0 from this trip. I'm not selling anything. I have no agenda. Kind of like Zach. I feel like Zach, you're a lot like this. Like, I just want to know. I'm curious. I want to know why these, whether they're flesh and blood creatures or whether they're interdimensional creatures, I don't really care. Why are these creatures showing up in my life? Why are they seeking a relationship with me? Why are they showing up in your life and Zach's life and the other men and women that will be here? I think it's a very interesting question to put out there. And by talking to each other, and by not BSing each other, by being open, we're going to start hopefully moving forward in this field instead of backward.
Yeah, absolutely.
So come out and have a free stand. Learn more about, you know, meet Daniel, meet Zach, meet me, meet Ron, meet all the other people. You know, all the people better than me, you know. And have a good time, and you won't regret it. You know, right, Daniel? You'll have a good time, we promise.
Oh, yeah, that's guaranteed. One way or another, it will be a great time, and you're going to love it and enjoy it. There'll be a lot to learn, a lot to hear, a lot to take in, that's for sure. And so, you know, come on out there and enjoy. As far as our vendors go, there should be something for everybody, a little something to cater to everybody. So, and, man, Kimberly, thank you for coming on tonight. This has been awesome. And don't forget, make sure everybody, Kimberly, feel free, if you've got time, to tune in tomorrow night. We're going to have Darby Orcutt, also from North Carolina. He will be joining us tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern
Time.
Where is
he at, Daniel? Where is he at in North Carolina? He's not Winston. Is he Charlotte?
He's from Raleigh.
Oh, is he Raleigh? Okay. Is he at a university? Is he a professor?
Yeah, he teaches at North Carolina State University.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
So, yeah, he should be very interesting.
Thank you so
much. Yeah, absolutely. So, and anybody who wants to, anybody who has misses, they'll be able to find this here by tomorrow afternoon or evening. This will be uploaded.
Yeah, I want to share it. So,
yeah,
just let me know when you have the link.
You could actually share it off of here. Also, it will be shared. Oh, yeah. Or you could wait. It will be uploaded on my YouTube channel, Bigfoot Zone. With ECBRO in parentheses.
If I share it from there. Yeah, I'll share it from there.
Okay, great, great, great. So, well, Kimberly, I'm sure we may be in touch between now and until next weekend. I mean, it's going to be crazy.
You
need to last minute things together. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to meeting you in person for the first time. So, we have a lot to look forward to.
I feel like I've already met you, so it's funny.
Right? So, yeah, if anybody... Yeah, anybody wants tickets, you can go to our event page on Facebook. It's the ECBRO, First Annual Virginia Bigfoot Conference. Or they can go directly to the website, virginiabigfootcon.com. Again, that is virginiabigfootcon.com. Remember, the con is con.com. So, and if you scroll through our website, you will find a ticket link on there. If you have any questions, you could also email me at ecbro98@gmail.com. I am Daniel Benoit, your host, and you guys have a squatchy evening. Thank you for tuning in, and ladies and gentlemen, you guys have a good night, and we're out of here. So, Kimberly,
night
thank
on.
You again. All right.
Thank you,
good night,
thanks,
Zach. Zach, I think, already disappeared. All right. All right, good night, guys.